Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 2. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amidst much opposition. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for a chance to come and worship you and just to pray, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that your spirit will just rest in this place this morning, God, that you will just open our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, and that we can just draw closer to you as we go about our day. In your name we pray. Amen. I actually want to read this to you in two other versions before we get started. So I'm just going to read it to you twice again. My dear brothers and sisters, it's obvious that our ministry among you was proven to be fruitful. And though we had already suffered greatly in Philippi, where we were shamefully mistreated, we are emboldened by faith in our God to fearlessly preach his wonderful gospel to you in spite of the incredible opposition. And this is the message. So friends, it's obvious that our visit to you was no waste of time. We'd just been given rough treatment in Philippi, as you know, but that didn't slow us down. We were sure of ourselves and God and went right ahead and said our piece, presenting God's message to you, defiant of the opposition. So a few key words that really struck me in this passage were the idea of fruitfulness or not in vain, the fact that Paul is addressing the fact that he went through rough treatment or persecution, he was mistreated, and that they still went about and they presented the gospel no matter what. And so those are three things that really stood out to me. And so just some information, some stuff that I gathered as I was reading about this passage is that we see Paul's defending himself, right? He's defending himself because the enemies he has in Thessalonica, and they were saying things about him, saying that he was a self-serving coward. These people were not in the church, though. You got to be careful to think that these were members of the church. These were members, people outside the church, and they did not like Paul. They did not like Paul. They hated Paul. They hated what he was doing. They hated the church. And so Paul is defending himself. Now, Paul is not defending himself for the sake of Paul. Paul is not defending himself trying to preserve his honor, like most of us would initially feel like we need to do to uplift himself, to puff himself up. But actually what Paul was doing by defending himself was actually defending the gospel. Because if the people of the church or people who were learning about Jesus and learning what he had done in Thessalonica, yeah, and they're hearing all these bad things about Paul, they're going to be less likely to hear about the gospel that he spoke. They're going to be so thinking about all the evil or all the negative about Paul, right? Think about all the pastors who have fallen, right, in recent years. And like, let's say the last, we don't even have to go that far, right? I think the last 5 years, we've seen many major pastors fall from grace, fall from the pulpit, many of which they justifiably should not be preaching. But yet, now that's all we see when we hear about them, right? All we see is why we see the negative. And to be fair, many of these people, what they did was wrong. Paul was innocent. Paul didn't do anything wrong. These accusations against him were false. And so by defending himself, he was defending the gospel. You know, Paul really wanted to make sure that the gospel was heard, right? And this is what I read from several different scholars on this topic, is that in this passage, you see Paul defending himself, which is not a norm, actually. Right? But it's this groundwork to make sure the message he spoke isn't lost because of all the insults that are shared about him. You know, and we notice that Paul acknowledges what they had done was not in vain. It had been successful. He sees this fruit. You know, Paul is reflecting and he's sharing, look at what has happened. You know, I shared the gospel and you guys took hold. Right, this is a community that Paul wasn't in that long, really. And yet, when he hears back about this church, it's positive. They're growing. They're learning. They're staying faithful, right? They hadn't, there's not a lot of they slip, they fall in, oh, woe is you if you're not careful, right? And so Paul's like, look, we've been fruitful, right? By being obedient to God, by being obedient to the Holy Spirit, by being obedient to preach and teach what God had told Paul to do and where to go, here we see success. We see the fruit of the church. But this one scholar, and I forgot to write down his name. I think it's Hilbert, because I have him written down later. He said that actually when Paul is talking about the fruitfulness, we can also see it as the character of which he presented the message. Like, the way that Paul lived his life, the way that Paul presented the message, his faithfulness to God, that characteristic is a marker to follow. He wasn't a salesperson. He wasn't a marketer trying to present God's gospel for his own sake. He was doing it for God's sake, for the gospel, for the people he was presenting the message to, for their salvation. You know, and then we also see that Paul speaks of his suffering he faced. He faced severe suffering. He was beaten in Philippi, right? And this beating is not like a slap on your butt, not a little quick, you know, punishment. And it's probably much worse than, you know, we see canings in Singapore, things like, I've never seen it, but we've seen it in the news, this happens. It would have been much worse than this, right? It would have been both physically, emotionally, socially damaging to a person. Paul would have gotten up from Philippi, moved on, and his wounds would still have been healing. He didn't necessarily, we don't know how exactly long it was. Like, I don't know. Someone else might know how long the time frame was. But he moved on. Even in his suffering, he continued on to present that message. He describes it as this opposition, right? Like his war, this battle, this opposition he was going on. That word opposition is actually a metaphor that you see in verse 2. And this metaphor actually reflects an athletic game. So this opposition, when you read the word in that portion, opposition, you can think of like a basketball game, right? But actually go a little further, right? It could also be seen as a battle, a struggle, something that involves intense exertion. It's strenuous. It's persistent effort to overcome, right? I think of someone who goes on a marathon, right? And even though they don't have a direct person they're battling, it is an inner battle, and that's what many of us face. I'm not a runner at all. I don't really know what running is about. But my brother-in-law is a major runner. His goal is to run a marathon every other continent. That is his goal. He's always looking for races to run, right? And when he is when he's starting to run, he has a schedule. And so every day, Monday, this is how much he runs. Tuesday, this is how much he runs. And leading up, it's all planned out. He knows exactly what he needs to do, when he needs to do it, to be able to reach the time he wants to finish that race. Right? So though he's not in this battle against another person, it's this inner battle of, should I just watch TV today instead? Should I work a little bit longer? What do I do? Right? But in order from now, he's picked up, what is it called? Triathlons. So he's doing swimming and biking, and I think he's a little crazy, but it's not my style, but he loves it and he's great at it. And you see in these two verses, you get this picture of Paul setting a framework to these people that he loves. I am doing this even though I suffered. All that has happened was not in vain. Look at the fruitfulness of your church, of your life, of my ministry, which is actually God's ministry. I did not allow the suffering and the pain to get in the way of doing what God had called me to do. And he was bold in his preaching. You know, that doesn't mean Paul went everywhere and was bold. He was very obedient to where the Holy Spirit told him to go. You know, he wanted to go one direction. The Holy Spirit said, don't go that way. Even though he wanted to go east, the Holy Spirit directed him west, and he was obedient to go that way. So even though Paul is bold in his speaking, he's bold to speak to whom God has called him to speak. He's bold in defending God himself when it is called and when it is necessary. It's not something he did all of the time. You know, I was really reflecting on these two verses, and I was remembering a time when I was a teacher, and I think this must have been my second year of teaching. So I was only like 24 years old. And I may have shared this before. I had a student, I won't mention his name, but he was a freshman in high school, and he was dating a junior in high school, and the breakup was awful. Like, absolutely, I mean, there's drama in high school breakups, but this was an extent of, I have no idea where this came from. And the girl started, I mean, she poured milk into his locker, and that milk seeped into other people's lockers. Textbooks were ruined. She wrote him death threats. She started emailing anyone that she could, or Facebook messaging anyone she could, to defame his name. And actually, he let me see everything when he came to me in tears. He was just crying. Like, he's a ninth grade boy. He's crying. He doesn't know what to do. He opens his Facebook. And from what I could tell, he didn't retaliate. And so what do? I bring it to the principal, because that's the proper thing to do. And so she's trying to solve it. And honestly, it was a mess. It was a mess because the person didn't write her name on everything. They're trying to figure out, how could you discipline someone if it didn't happen? All the stuff didn't happen in school. So they were trying to sort all of that out. And one day while I was coaching basketball, I get called up to the office. I get called up to the office because he's just crying. More things had happened. And so there's a bench outside of the office, and it's a public view. He's crying on my boss. She takes his hands and puts them on me because she didn't know what to do. So he starts crying on me. And the girls see this. And so they shifted their attack towards me. And so it's interesting, like, I never took his side over them. I just brought it to the office. But as soon as they saw him crying on me and leaning on me, which my boss did, the attack shifted. And so they started following me around, trying to figure out how to get me fired. So I'm like 24, 25 years old, trying to sort this out. But for some reason during that whole process, I never felt like I needed to defend myself. One, because my boss knew what was going on. She knew the truth, and she was present through everything. Whenever there was conflict, we were in her office. And so I knew that I was safe, and I knew that I was secure, that I wasn't in risk of losing my job, no matter how much they tried to make up on me. There was nothing they could find. In everything they said, I was innocent. Not that I was guiltless in other areas. I mean, I had my mistakes. But in this circumstance, there was nothing. And I did not feel the need to defend myself. You know, and as I was reading through this portion of scripture and how Paul is defending himself, and how these scholars are saying the reason he's defending himself is for the sake of the gospel. Why do you defend yourself when people attack you? Why do you decide to speak out against someone who's coming against you? If you really think about it, what is the purpose? You know, I mean, there's been other times where I have defended myself, rightfully or wrongfully, maybe not in the best way, not with much grace. But there's something in that moment, when I look back at that specific situation, which is probably one of the worst situations I've experienced in my professional career, I knew I was secure in my boss, in that the boss kind of illustrates God, right? She knew that I was innocent, and she knew that I had done nothing wrong. And so I could securely take in all of the stuff they threw at me, because I knew in the end nothing could happen to me. I was innocent. And no matter how much those girls and their friends tried to come against this student and myself and anyone that they perceived to take his side, right? It wasn't just me. It was a few other teachers, a few other students that they were coming against. As we stood calmly in the situation, I knew God had my back. I knew that my boss knew the truth. So why do you defend yourself? You know, is it because you're making a point to puff yourself up? Or is it because by defending yourself, you're defending God? By defending yourself, are you defending a message that you're presenting? And it's about striking a balance, and we're not going to get it perfect. We're going to mess up, right? Our human nature wants to protect ourselves, right? Fight, flight, or freeze, right? Those are kind of the things that you go through when you're being attacked. You either fight back, you run, or you just freeze. right? And that's what psychologists say. And so you're not going to do it right. And one time you might do one way and the next time you'll do it the other way. But really thinking about God and his gospel and the message that we're presenting. You know, I also realize it's good to reflect on the fruit. You know, Paul's reflecting on this fruitfulness, this faithfulness, how it wasn't in vain. You know, it encourages us. You know, sometimes in ministry or in your workplace or in your family, you might be going through hard times, and it's good to reflect. Let's see, you know, God has used me, and here is this fruitfulness that has come out of it, right? And it's not, yeah, I mean, it is a little bit about you, but it's about encouraging you to go on. You know, if you're in that hard place when things aren't going well, to look back and be like, wow, you know, right now things might not be great, but when I reflect on the faithfulness, on the fruitfulness, that the things that we've done for God's sake, for his name, with the power of the Holy Spirit, have not been in vain. It can encourage and lift up our spirit to continue on. You know, Paul, we don't exactly know how his life ended. We don't know exactly everything that took place. But you know, he didn't, we're pretty sure it didn't end well, right? There was suffering. He suffered a lot for the sake of God. And to reflect upon that fruitfulness, I can just imagine was building up him. But also those that he encountered, right? Like, hey, look, God's been fruitful in my life, even in the midst of persecution, in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering. God's been faithful, and he will be faithful to you. And so when we reflect on it, we can really see God's goodness in our life. You know, as we, you know, we're kind of in a, actually this whole thing in Hong Kong, everything that's going on, I had a picture, and I don't get pictures a lot, and I wasn't going to share this, but I kind of got a picture of, it felt like a rope, right? A tug of war rope. And you have these two opposite sides in Hong Kong fighting each other, and the church is kind of in the middle holding on because we don't quite know what to do, right? And in this picture I saw God say, church, take your hand off trying to keep everything in line. Come together, worship me, and go to each person individually. Start giving God the hope, like giving people God's hope. You know, it's not like us trying to hold this tension and keeping the peace in the moment, but it's about we are the church to speak boldly of hope to people. And in this time, we can speak boldly to people about God's hope when they feel hopeless. And you know, here, Paul, even in the persecution, even in the pain, he boldly spoke of God's goodness. And even in our pain and even in our suffering, even when people reject us, whether it's, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I don't think many of us in this room have been physically harmed for our beliefs. I mean, I can't, or are listening. I can't say for sure, but I know I've never been physically persecuted. Actually, I've not really been persecuted any way, such form, for my beliefs. Maybe it's because of where I grew up and I assumed everyone was a believer. And when I found out one of my friends wasn't a believer, I was in shock. That's kind of the culture I grew up in. It was a shock if you didn't believe in Jesus, not if you did. You know, that was just that was my mindset. But you know, persecution could come at any time. And are we going to be willing to be bold in our faith when God calls us to? In this moment of tension in this city, are we willing to be bold to preach the hope that God has for us? So as I ask Matthew to come up to lead this morning, I want you just to reflect on God's goodness in your life. I want you to reflect on if you've suffered any pain whatsoever for the faith in him, and allow God to remind you in that process his goodness to you. In that process, how he has taken care of you and that fruit. And if you can't see the fruit, if there is no fruit during that time, maybe there's some repentance that needs to take place because maybe you weren't following the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I'm not going to say that's exactly what happened. But really just come before God. If you're in that pain, that place of pain or suffering, especially for God, you know, ask him to reveal to you even just a little bit of how he's been faithful to you. So let's just spend some time worshiping and praying and reflecting to God.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. Amen. Test, test, test. 1, 2, 1, 2. Checking the sound. Amen. Amen. There is hope in the hopeless world, and bless the Lord this morning. Start with the sun comes up.
It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Heaven may pass and
bless the Lord, everyone.
So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your holy name.
You're
rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh, my soul. I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your holy name.
On that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh, my soul. I worship your holy name.
We worship your holy name.
Before we go into prayer, let's just spend some time thanking God for all that he's done for us this week, this morning, this month. However far back you have to go to find this, that place of thankfulness to God. So let's just spend some time giving thanks to God. Turn to our prayer focus. Let's pray for those going through cancer, those who are going through treatments. Let's just pray for God's healing hand in their lives. Let's just pray for their ability just to remain faithful to God in this time. So let's just lift up our brothers and sisters suffering cancer from cancer right now. Lift up those who are suffering from various illnesses, but also need to meet God, to have him as their salvation. So let's just pray for both healing and spiritual healing, both physical and spiritual. Let's pray for those who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing hand in their life, and let's just pray for continued faithfulness, faith in God during this time. Pray for those who are seeking jobs. Let's just pray for God to show them to the exact job that he's called them to. And let's just pray, yeah, for doors to be open and the right ones to be seen. Pray for our mission focus today. Let's pray for Singapore, for SPSG with PSAM Kim and Annie. Let's pray for Indonesia Spin with Pisalama Mimi. Let's pray for Philippines Spill with Ernie and Shimmy. Let's pray for our church plant in SP New York with Ruth, Jess, and Kelly, as Kelly has just moved over there in the last week or so. Let's just pray for God just to really encourage them in this time. Let's pray for their communities to draw closer to God. Let's lift up our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's just pray that God will just continue to grow in the kids and the young adults in this church, that they will know from a young age who God is and how faithful He is to them, and that they will have genuine faiths from a very early age that will continue to mature into adulthood. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries, IP, The Well and River, led by Matt and Rachel. Let's just really pray that this will be a church that prays, a church that really encounters Him. And let's just pray for continued healing, both physically and spiritually, and inner healing in this church. Lift up our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homies. Let's just pray that God will just be seen through our people, through our hands and our feet, that we will just be a testament to God's faithfulness. Let's be light in this city. And let's just pray for true, genuine friendships to take place as well. Let's lift up the city of Hong Kong. Let's just lift up our home. Let's lift up just everyone that's involved in the different protests. Let's just pray for true peace, that God's peace will just fall into the city, and that God's will be done. Lift up our Japan mission trip and our Korea mission trip. They're both happening right now. Let's just pray for their leaders. Let's pray for our members who are out there. Let's just pray for genuine connections. Yeah, let's just pray for safety and just an encounter with God for both our members and those who they are ministering to. Just as a reminder, today at lunchtime, from 12 to 1, we'll be praying for the city of Hong Kong. So just please come out and join us for that time as well. And so, Father, we just thank You for today. We thank You for Your love for us, God. We thank You for the fact that You have been faithful to us, God. And Lord, help us to see the fruit. God, help us to see Your love. Help us to walk in Your paths today. And God, we just pray as we go about our day, Lord, that we'll be able to see the people that we encounter with Your eyes, through Your eyes, Lord, and that we can love them and preach boldly Your goodness to them, the gospel to them. So we thank You, we love You, and we just ask that Your Spirit will connect to our spirits, our mind, our soul, every part of us, Lord, that You'll be connected to us, leading and guiding and directing us. In Your name we pray, amen. Have a great